Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of things that I could say about the wonder of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I have to say this year there were some pretty low spots for me as well. The sermon I heard on Easter Sunday was a sermon featuring Heaven is for Real. The movie, the book, was prominently featured. Not only that, but all this weekend I received letters even from supporters who are very upset with the position that I have taken on Heaven is for Real. Now, what I've done is I've given 10 reasons why heaven is real, but Heaven is for Real, the book and movie, are not. And this is not a position that I take lightly. One supporter wrote me and said, "I find your criticism completely irrational and unreasonable." And then went on to say, "Quit majoring on the minors." But the question has to be asked, is this really a minor? And how can anyone think that this would be a minor? When the Mormons say God has a body, we do not consider that a minor. Whenever you're dealing with the nature of God, it's not a minor, it's a major. Not only so, but when books and movies portray people with resurrected bodies or people in heaven with bodies, period, I don't consider this a minor. The Bible is emphatically clear on this point. And it seems incredible to me that while the Bible is emphatically clear on this point, pastors can stand up in pulpits and completely miss the main point of resurrection. The Christian faith is not platonic, it's very physical, but we do not receive our resurrected bodies until Jesus appears a second time. Scripture clearly refers to the moment of death, on the other hand, as disembodiment, not re-embodiment. For example, in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul makes it crystal clear that to be at home with the Lord is to be away from the body. And to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. The notion that believers receive temporary bodies during the intermediate state is either ad hoc or atrocious hermeneutics. One writer recently has gone so far as to suggest that the martyrs in heaven were given fine linen to wear, and thus they must have had bodies. What is not mentioned is that the Apostle John in Revelation specifically defines fine linen as the righteous acts of the saints. Furthermore, Scripture teaches that believers are not resurrected until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if you were to die today, you'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when Jesus appears a second time, your soul would return to a resurrected body. This is a basic, fundamental teaching of the historic Christian faith, completely contradicted by Heaven is for Real. If believers receive their resurrected bodies at the moment of death, They obviously could not receive their resurrected bodies at Christ's second coming. And to suppose that believers receive their immortal bodies while their mortal bodies are in the grave is to suppose that the resurrection has already come. Now think about this in light of quit majoring on the minors. What does Paul say in this regard? He characterizes all such speculations as, these are his words, not mine, godless chatter. And then he specifically identifies Hymenaeus and Philetus as two men who wandered away from the truth, who destroyed the faith of others by teaching that the resurrection has already taken place. You can find this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Not only so, but our eternal bodies, and this is the beauty of the hope of resurrection, are numerically identical to the bodies we now possess. As Christ rose in the same physical body in which he died, so too we will be raised in the same physical body in which we die. In other words, our resurrection body is not a second temporary body, rather it is our present body transformed. Again, see the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while a biblical perspective does not dictate that every cell of our present body is restored in resurrection, it does require continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. And therefore, one day, the very body of my Father that I watched being lowered into the ground will rise from its grave. It was sown perishable. It will be raised imperishable. It was sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It was sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. It was sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. And on that day, my dad will no longer have a body dominated by natural proclivities. Instead, he will have a supernatural, spiritual body dominated by the Holy Spirit and set free from slavery to sin. An eternal house, as Scripture calls it, in heaven, not built by human hands. Apart from that hope, listen to me carefully, there is no hope. If the dead are not raised, says Paul, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let me summarize. Scripture describes the moment of death as disembodiment, not re-embodiment. Paul makes it clear that being at home with the Lord is tantamount to being away from the body. And therefore, when near-deathers explain the physical characteristics of people that they meet in heaven, you know something is wrong. Now, I'm not doubting the experience. I'm not even doubting the sincerity, although I may say something in future broadcasts about what I know about this. And it will blow a lot of people's minds. But that's not my point here. My point is simply to say that when people are described with physical bodies in heaven, completely the same as the picture that you would see on the mantle before the person died on earth, something is amiss. Again, this is not a trifling matter. Irregardless of what major Christian ministries will say in this regard, ministries that sadly are promoting this work. Ministers in pulpits on Easter Sunday, trifling with the centrality of the hope of Easter, on Easter. It is a sign of how biblically illiterate we have become. And yes, I am quoting from letters of people that support this ministry, and whether they continue to or not is not my concern. My concern is one thing and one thing alone, and that is being faithful to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That's my concern. If people don't want to support this ministry as a result of what I'm saying, so be it. The reality is that what I'm saying is not even controversial in the least from a biblical standpoint, nor is it obscure. It's the central issue. It's the main and the plain thing. It's not a minor. It's a major. Got another letter in front of me of someone who says they support each month, and I deeply appreciate that support. Someone who says that they have listened to me for a long period of time, but they simply disagree with me on this particular subject. And they're very sad that I did not give the movie a thumbs up. Why don't I say that some of these near-death experiences could be true? I've written about this in Afterlife. Because they do not correspond to what the Bible says. That's the bottom line. I'm captive to the Word of God, period. And again, some things in the Scriptures are difficult to understand. This is not. There is a one-to-one correspondence between the body when it dies and the body when it rises, and therefore our resurrection bodies are not second bodies, but they are our present bodies transformed, but not now, not even at our death. The Bible says that this happens when Jesus appears a second time. Again, I would challenge all listeners to not take my word for this, but read the Scripture. And no matter how popular your pastor or your favorite ministry, test what they are saying in light of Scripture, then hold fast to that which is good. It's interesting, in the sermon that I heard on Sunday, featuring Heaven is for Real as a centerpiece of the message, in that sermon, theological skeptics wonder where that word came from or that moniker came from, were simply dismissed with a wave of the hand. I tweeted about this. Ouch. I am not a theological skeptic. I'm someone who has studied the Word of God on this matter. Why? Because it's central to our faith. The faith once for all delivered to the saints. I have, over the last couple of weeks, looked at the websites of the skeptics. And quite frankly, I have no answer for the skeptics on this one. They've seen through this, and they consider Christians mere gullible souls who are willing to spend $20 a ticket to go hear another rendition of a father and a boy described in the sermon that I heard as almost having a halo. But spending $20 a ticket so that they can hear the story one more time. And the skeptics say the Christian is gullible. But here's, if I may say this in a sanctified sense, the real hell of it. They've seen through this story and many others like it, and now they feel bolstered in their belief that we are just as wrong about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as wrong about the afterlife, and just as wrong about the Bible. And they wonder why the renditions of heaven that come from near-death experiences don't match the Bible, and why people in churches don't know that there's a difference with a distinction, a difference that cannot be harmonized. There's no way to make the Bible and Burpo match. You can't do it. The Bible stands at odds with what they're communicating. I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, so that you could know beyond the peradventure of a doubt what heaven really entails, what the resurrection really entails, and why you cannot believe near-death experiences on this subject. This subject that is central to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Again, the book Afterlife, it was written in part with this in mind, quite frankly, because there is a woeful ignorance within the body of Christ today with respect to the central event, the very hope that we have as believers. Coming to the station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. So please stay tuned for that.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is hacker activism the most heroic use of the internet? Liberating data, exposing lies, speaking truth to power? Or is it the most corrupting side of cyberspace? Stealing data, telling secrets, and endangering citizens? Although hacktivism has received much media attention, it has received little moral scrutiny. Other topics include Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design, the Ten Commandments of apologetics, was Hitler a Christian, same-sex marriage and today's church, is it silly to believe in Noah's flood, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Rather than fall for the emotional rhetoric presented by new atheists such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett, we must become so familiar with the truth, we recognize their lies instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's remarkable book titled, Is God a Moral Monster? Will help you do just that. And this reassuring resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we will go to our phone callers. Don is up in Castro Valley, California, listening on NRB television. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. In the past, I know you've been a critic of Dr. Frederick Price, and I was quite surprised to see him comment on one biblical passage, you know, on the order of creation. He seemed to have it straight on that. But then, on the Easter message, he comes up like something Herbert W. Armstrong used to, you know, harp on, that Easter was a pagan holiday, and mathematically there's no way that that Easter could come, you know, come on the day it does because of the, you know, the 3 days that don't seem to coincide with Easter Sunday. That's what I was curious about.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's interesting that anyone would say something like that, because what the Bible says is that Jesus would be 3 days and three nights if you look at what the Bible says, he died on Friday, he rose early Sunday morning. So what happens as a result of that is people suggest that the 3 days and three nights could not actually be true because he wasn't in the grave for exactly 3 days and three nights. And to deal with that difficulty, what some Christians have done is create a bigger problem by saying that Jesus died on a Thursday and then he rose on a Sunday, or that he died on a Wednesday and he rose on a Saturday. But that's not what the Gospels say. They say that he died and he was buried the day before the Sabbath or Friday, that he rose on the day after the Sabbath or Sunday. And the answer to that conundrum is not to change the time frame, but the answer is to recognize that in the Jewish mind, part of a day was counted as an entire day. And that's why it is important to learn the idioms or figures of speech that are used in the Scriptures. Jesus rose on the third day, the Scripture says, by the way, not after 3 days. Jesus died on Passover day, Friday, to fulfill the conditions of being our Passover lamb. So the basic idea here is that part of a day constituted a day in Jewish idiom. But it is not surprising to me at all to see that Frederick Price is mutilating the biblical text and on central issues. He is part of what I call the Osteenification of American Christianity. Listen to this. Frederick Price says, "Do you think that the punishment for our sin was to die on a cross? If that were the case, the two thieves could have paid your price." No, says Frederick Price, "the punishment for Jesus was to go to hell itself and to serve time in hell separated from God." Now think about that. This is precisely what Joel Osteen teaches. But it gets worse. Well, maybe it doesn't get worse. I don't know what's worse and what isn't worse, and I don't want to make one thing worse than the other, but But it's all heresy. Frederick Price boldly asserts we don't allow sickness in our home. And then he discourages the use of medication. Here's what he says precisely. Quote, when you have developed your faith to such an extent that you can stand on the promises of God, then you won't need medicine. Close quote. Not only this, but Frederick Price says that if you have to say, if it be thy will or thy will be done, if you have to say that, he says, then you are calling God a fool. Now again, this directly contradicts biblical passages. It's like with the Burpo situation. It's not my opinion. Check out the Word of God. In this case, check out James 4:15 or Matthew 6, 9, and 10. The implications of Price's comment pose serious problems for the biblical doctrine of God's sovereignty, and unfortunately, his rhetoric doesn't end there. Like other prosperity preachers, Price misdefines the biblical concept of dominion and then sneers at those who believe God has dominion over this earth. Again, here's what he says. If them animals belong to, if those animals belong to God, this is a direct quote, I'm just word for word, how come God didn't give them their names? Why did he leave it up to a puny man to give them the names to the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the vegetable kingdom? Because they belonged under the control of Adam and not of God. Why? Adam had dominion, not God. God didn't have dominion. Amen, he says. And then you hear the murmur of amens from the crowd. Price has made a habit of calling into question God's overarching authority. And his theological errors touch on many crucial issues with respect to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Again, this is nothing short of the ostinification of American Christianity. It's why I wrote the book. Ostinification is not just about Osteen. The reason ostinification is the word I coined is because he's the biggest of the bunch. More people listen to him. He's twice as big as his nearest competitor, but boy, are there a lot of people sharing this kind of nonsense over the public airwaves. And these kinds of messages are heard on Easter when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the day that we pick is a day that simply corresponds to a time in the year that we want to celebrate the greatest event, the hope of Christianity. The 40 days that precede it are a time of preparation. This is the highlight in the Christian calendar. It really is bigger than even Christmas. And in many traditions, it is treated in that way. Again, this is the centerpiece of Scripture. Nothing surpasses the hope of resurrection because had Christ not risen from the dead, and were it possible that we could not believe this as certainly as we believe anything else, we would have no hope. Paul says, if that's the case, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. You are most miserable, he says, among all men. Why? Because you're still dead in your sins. He says, my preaching would be useful. And even those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. He's emphatic. So again, it is a, I have to say, a bittersweet weekend for me. I had a great weekend on a lot of different levels. But my Easter Sunday experience was not one of them in terms of gathering with the saints and hearing the most outlandish things being said about resurrection, about what we should believe with respect to heaven, and to see a large congregation murmuring their approval, clapping, not realizing that they were being fed the skin of the truth, stuffed with a great big lie, and that on the centrality of the gospel, the very thing I write about in Ostenification under atonement atrocities. Jesus finished the work of redemption not in hell. Frederick Price is wrong. Osteen is wrong. Joyce Meyer is wrong. I could go on. He finished the work of redemption on the cross. That's what we celebrate when we take communion. His broken body, his shed blood for the complete remission of sin. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Mark in California, also listening on NRB television. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay. I just want to thank God for you, and I want to thank God for CRI, and also for our late brother, Walter Martin, who is away from the body and yet home with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I wanted to ask you a question concerning predestination, Hank. I've struggled with this for a long time in my own life because of my own sin. I have walked away from the Lord. I walked away from the Lord for a number of years and have returned to Him because of the pain and sorrow that I've had and the punishment. I guess I shouldn't say punishment, but the conditions of what that sin did to my physical, mental, financial self. And I come to you now to try to understand the very concept of predestination. And I've been reading, looking into Romans 9, especially, when he talks about the raising up of Pharaoh for that very purpose, to display his power. And I've struggled with this in my own life, wondering if I may be in some way predestined. Although I've sought the Lord, I pray, I ask Him to change me. I don't feel like I can change myself, and I sometimes am totally overwhelmed from my past, from my sin.
Well, let me say this, Mark. You know, I was thinking about the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man wanted to send Lazarus back so that his five brothers would be warned and they would not come to a place like this. And then the words of Jesus are, they have Moses and the prophets. If they did not listen to them, they would not listen even if someone rises from the dead, which is to say, they had all the evidence necessary for them so that they could receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And at the end of the day, Jesus is the predestined one, and if we are found in Christ, then we have the assurance, not only that we have salvation as a present possession, but that we will have that salvation throughout all eternity. I want to elaborate on those remarks in just a few moments when we come back from a break.
God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them. That's why we want to help you stand for truth by sending you a copy of a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank coming up next. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left. Who will be left behind? Is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Many people carry around highly destructive beliefs about God that are endorsed by popular atheists of our day. And tragically, they never truly experience intimacy with the Creator of their souls. We want to help you see through any lies you might carry around about God with a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I have received our financial report, and it's no big surprise to me that we are down dramatically this month. And the reason I bring this up is very simply this, that if I were simply being vanilla, I don't think we would be down. But when I take on subjects that are hugely popular, not just from a worldly perspective, but hugely popular in the contemporary Christian church, then all of a sudden people say, wow, He's gone too far. I went to the movie. The movie was wonderful. It was warm. It gets people talking about Jesus Christ. How could someone possibly say something bad about that? Get a grip. I can't support that. Well, in reality, as I've already talked about, and I'm not going to reiterate here, this is about the centrality of the hope of the believer. And no matter how good a story you tell about it, it flies in the face of the faith once for all delivered to the saints with respect to the nature of God, the nature of resurrection, what happens when we die, what happens when Jesus returns a second time, whether we have a Jewish Jesus or one with brown hair and sea green bluish eyes and a God, the Father, with blonde hair and blue eyes, a wingless Jesus and a God with big wings, and a host of other stories too numerous to go into. So I'm asking people that genuinely appreciate the truth to join me as ministry partners. Monthly ministry partners in particular are much needed, people that I can rely on to stand with me, because quite frankly, when the resources don't go well, you have to start canceling things. You have to start limiting ministry. So I have a choice to make. Be politically correct. Say what people want to hear. And believe me, I saw yesterday firsthand what people want to hear. I watched the applause and the murmurs of approval for things that were so clearly unbiblical that, quite frankly, I was astounded. So I know what's popular. I know what people want to hear, but that's not what I've been called to do. And I don't want this to sound harsh. This is not about judging anybody's motives. I don't think anybody's ever heard me do that. I can make some guesses. But I refrain from dealing with people's morals or ethics, why they do what they do. I'm testing what they're teaching. That's it. And aren't we told in Scripture to do that? And when Paul himself was tested, did he get mad? No, he appreciated it. He said, "Thank you. You are noble because you're testing what I'm saying in light of Scripture." That's the attitude that we should have. If you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, if you can do nothing but pray, I deeply appreciate it. If you can support us financially, it would be deeply appreciated. And if you can become a monthly partner, it means the world in terms of a stable base for ministry. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team on the web, equip.org. You can join via the mail at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And right now, let me just say this. When you join, I want to send you a personalized copy of my book, Afterlife, because it deals with these very subjects. And quite frankly, though we are promoting Is God a Moral Monster, which is an incredibly good book, and I'd be happy to send it to you for your gift as well. Though we are promoting that this month, Afterlife is the book that is on my heart. It's been on my heart all weekend because I thought, you know what? All these questions are answered and people need to get a grip in terms of what the Bible says respecting our afterlife, respecting heaven, our real home. Again, I'd be pleased to send those that join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team a personalized copy of Afterlife. What you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, including hell, and near-death experiences. Everything you need to know about near-death experiences, you will find in this book. Everything. And it comments directly on Heaven is for Real, and many other books, and there's much more that's going to come out in the future. I think eventually people will know that the emperor has no clothes, and they will know that for a lot of other reasons, reasons I don't feel privileged to disclose at this point. Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, near-death experiences. You can get your copy, again, in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. When you join the monthly support team, I'll send a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. I meant to say something about Mark's question with respect to Pharaoh in Romans chapter 9. One of the interesting things about Romans chapter 9 is that in this passage, we see two things. One is, if you go back to the passages on which Romans 9 draws, you will find two things to be true. One is that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You will also see that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But what was the cause for the hardening of heart? It was mercy. Every time God showed mercy and removed a plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Happened over and over and over again. Why? Because he, of his own volition, despised Yahweh, the God of Israel. And even in light of the miracles, decided to go his own way. But make no mistake, the Apostle Paul is emphatic on this point. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the times set for them, the places where they would live, and he did this. Why? So that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And he now commands all people everywhere to repent, repent. For he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he's given proof of this to all men by raising Christ from the dead. Much more could be said. We'll leave it at that. Back to the phone lines. I'll talk next to Keith. He's listening in South Dakota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I try to listen to your program every day on my way home from work.
Thank you.
And I've been listening with a great deal of interest on the Osteenification and your comments and information about Joel Osteen and the other folks that are in that genre of evangelists and telecommunications preachers. I also listen to Jack Graham from PowerPoint and Chip Ingram from Living on the Edge on Sirius XM, typically in the morning on my way to work, and then I listen to you in the afternoon on my way home. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on Jack Graham and Chip Ingram and how they compare to Joel Osteen.
Well, they don't. I mean, I've known Jack Graham for many years. He's the absolute real deal. And I'm sure there are many areas that we would disagree on, but they are always secondary issues. When it comes to the faith, once for all delivered to the saints, we stand shoulder to shoulder. And again, I can say from my personal experience with Jack Graham that he is absolutely the real deal. As a father, as a husband, as a pastor, he's absolutely the real deal. And I would say as a friend. Chip Ingram, I can say the same thing about. I don't know him quite as well. I do know him, and I have been very blessed by him in a lot of different ways, ways he wouldn't know anything about. I was riding in my car once on a trip to Florida and listened to one of his messages, and I was just motivated, exhorted, encouraged, and in many ways equipped. So I have very much appreciated their ministries and the sound biblical wisdom and even very practical insights that they have given throughout their history and ministry?
Well, I think they're very good as well, and that's why I listen to them every morning, because I'm motivated by them, and I found your program to be very fascinating. Well, I may not agree with everything. You know your stuff, man. And it's real interesting to listen to. I listen to Joel Osteen once in a while on Sunday, only because as a public speaker myself, I'm very interested in looking and watching his style, and he's very smooth and polished. But not as a public speaker, you can't deny that he's very gifted in that part. But as far as his how he presents the Bible and how he presents the God and everything that goes along with that, you're far more knowledgeable than I am about that, but I really do like Jack Graham and Chip Ingram, and I was hoping that that your take on those two would be very positive, and that's a good thing. So thank you very much for that, and thank you for the information that you do provide for people on radio. I try to listen, like I said, every day, so I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for your call and your kind comments. I couldn't agree with you more. If Joel Osteen is anything, he's polished and smooth. He's a hip, new personification of God Talk in America. He's a fresh, improved version of faith purveyors like Benny Hinn and Jan Crouch and Kenneth Copeland. You know, the comb-overs are gone. The blue wigs are gone. The weird intonations, well, they're a thing of the past. He doesn't use any of those things. But also gone, as I point out in my book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, are the words of Christ. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. No room in the inn for talk like that. Again, I've written about this in The Osteenification of American Christianity, available on CDs in book form and also as a download. Going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you are hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you as quickly as I can in the next hour. For those calling in, I'll try to get to you as well. The number you can dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, again translates to 888-275-4265. Thanks for your prayers, for your support, for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is hacker activism the most heroic use of the internet? Liberating data, exposing lies, speaking truth to power. Or is it the most corrupting side of cyberspace? Stealing data, telling secrets, and endangering citizens. Although hacktivism has received much media attention, it has received little moral scrutiny. Other topics include Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design. The Ten Commandments of Apologetics. Was Hitler a Christian? Same-sex marriage and today's church. Is it silly to believe in Noah's flood? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.